Well, we've got two Bible readings this morning, and we're going to break them up in song before Matt comes and continues in our Mark series. So the first reading will appear on the screen, I think, Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet in chapter 7, which you'll see why we're using it, and Matt chose it. It's because Jesus himself references it in the passage we'll come to in a moment. So Jeremiah chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 9 to 14. And then I'll invite us to stand and sing as the band come up, and then Harriet will come and read our Mark's reading. So Jeremiah chapter 7, 9 to 14, page 765 of your Bibles. Jeremiah 7, verse 9. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury? Burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe, safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple that you trust in, the place I gave to you and your ancestors.
Good morning. The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 11 to 25, and that can be found on page 1016 on the Pew Bible. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayers, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Very warm welcome to you this morning, especially if this is your first time here. Very warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much, Adam and Harriet, for reading so clearly for us. Please do keep your Bibles open on page 1016 so that you can check that what I am saying is what God is saying today. What's wrong with looking respectable but wanting nothing to do with God? What's wrong with coming to church on Sunday, singing all the songs and looking respectable on the outside, but spending the rest of the week wanting nothing to do with God? In our passage today, Jesus arrives at the holy city of Jerusalem and visits the temple there on two occasions. In the Old Testament, the temple system was provided by God as the way to make things right between himself and his people. The temple was the place of God's presence, where his people were to come bearing sacrifices for their sin so that they could be restored in their relationship with him. It was intended to be a good system, a way for God's people, otherwise separated from God because of their sin, to live in restored relationship with him. But despite the presence of the temple in Jerusalem, there seems to be a problem here. The people have hard hearts, wanting nothing to do with God, even though on the outside they may look like they're doing all the right things. So, what's wrong with looking respectable but wanting nothing to do with God? Mark shows us, firstly, through a bit of horticulture. Let's dive into our first point. Point number one, a false impression of fruit leads to judgment. A false impression of fruit leads to judgment. At first glance, this section of the passage can sound a bit strange. Is Jesus losing his cool with a tree? And how can Jesus curse a tree for having no fruit when it's not even the season for figs? Well, those with green fingers among us are probably aware that unlike other fruit trees, fig trees start their season with fruit, not leaves. As I was preparing this passage, I noticed that the fig tree at my daughter's nursery started producing figs a few weeks ago, and here is a picture. As you can see, the figs appeared before there were any leaves on the tree. And here is another picture from just last week. The fig tree is in leaf, telling any passerby, "Okay, my fruit is now ready. Come and have a taste." My daughter certainly will. But here you see, a fig tree with leaves should surely have already produced fruit. A leafy fig tree is signaling to the world, "I have fruit." But what does Jesus find here? Look down with me at verse 13. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. The leaves make the tree look respectable on the outside. It looked like fruit should be found there, but there is no fruit to be seen. Its leaves were deceptive. So Jesus curses the fig tree, not for its lack of fruit, for it was not the season for figs, but for its pretense of fruitfulness. The lesson of the fig tree is this: a false impression of fruit leads to judgment. So what then happens to this fig tree? We don't find out until after Jesus' episode in the temple in Jerusalem. A false impression of fruit leads to judgment. Point two, so Jesus announces judgment on empty religion. Jesus announces judgment on empty religion. We come now to verses 15 to 19, where Jesus returns to Jerusalem for his second visit to the temple. From a distance, just like the leafy fig tree, the temple was seen to be a place for God's people to have access to their God. The temple was meant to be a house of prayer and the dwelling place of the living God. But instead of affirming these things, these are the historical facts that Mark recorded. Jesus goes into the temple and overturns tables. You can almost hear the money changers' coins being scattered everywhere. The benches of dove sellers overturned, the sound of the wings flapping, feathers and chaos filling the air. All trade and sacrifice in the temple would have come to an abrupt standstill. Why did Jesus disrupt things in this way? Wasn't the temple system instituted by God in the first place? Look down with me at verse 17. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The phrase "den of robbers" is a quote from Jeremiah 7. Let's read Jeremiah 7, 9 to 11 once again. I'll put these verses on the screen to understand what this means. "Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things'? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord." Just like the leafy fig tree, these people had an outward appearance of being in right relationship with God. They would come to God's house and confidently say, "We are safe," and then leave and do detestable things at home and in their communities. The world saw God's people doing detestable things and making God's house into a den of robbers, and then apparently following God's rules and declaring that they are right with God. Everyone could see that they were leafy hypocrites. Who would want to know or follow their God? So God is rightfully furious that they have misrepresented his character and his name. So then, the leafy fig tree is a picture of the spiritual reality of these religious people. They were turning up and saying, "We are safe," just like the fig tree with its leaves declaring, "I have fruit." But behind the veneer of religious practice, they were a den of robbers doing detestable things. They had no fruit, and their hearts were far away from God. We have an example of this in the very next verse, verse 18. The chief priests and teachers of the law, all apparently upstanding, religious members of the community, sought to destroy, well, kill, it says, isn't it, Jesus, because they were afraid of his teaching. What's wrong with looking respectable but wanting nothing to do with God? Well, God hates it when people display an outward impression of being in right relationship with him, but where in reality their hearts are far from him. God hates empty religion. No matter how white the leader's robes are, how strong the scent of an incense is, how ornate a building is, God hates leafy showiness of seeming like his people, but with rotten hearts. And as with the fig tree, Jesus rightfully announces judgment on empty religion. We have just seen Jesus curse the tragic hypocrisy of both the fig tree and the temple. And immediately, Jesus leaves Jerusalem, and we see the effect of his words. Look down with me at verse 20. "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots." This is evidence that what Jesus had said will truly happen. The fig tree didn't just stop producing fruit. It was withered from its root, never to return. Some of you might have noticed that these two sections on the fig tree sandwich the section with Jesus in the temple. Mark uses this sandwich structure across the gospel account to link two related ideas. The fig tree sandwich here shows us that Jesus' curse of the temple is closely linked to what happens to this leafy fig tree. In the same way that Jesus' judgment withers the leafy fig tree from the roots, so too we can know that the temple will become rubble because Jesus has announced judgment on it. We know from historical accounts that the temple was indeed razed to the ground by the Romans in AD 70, siege of Jerusalem. What Jesus has said will truly happen. But how then can people have access to God if their means of access, the temple, is gone? And how can they be forgiven by God if the whole sacrificial system in the temple has been overturned? Jesus turns this into a teaching moment for his disciples, and his response to all this judgment is wonderfully comforting. Point 3, Therefore, have faith in God, who invites us into restored relationship with him. Have faith in God, who invites us into restored relationship with him. Have faith in God, verse 22. Do not doubt in your heart, verse 23. But believe, verse 23. Believe, verse 24. Jesus invites us into an intimate relationship with God. He says, therefore I tell you, in verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. This is huge. Jesus is saying that the temple is no longer necessary for right relationship with God. This turns everything that people had known to that date on its head. Even without the temple, access to God is possible for those who believe. We don't quite know how yet, but it must have something to do with what Jesus is doing in Jerusalem. And an intimate relationship with God is possible if we have faith in him. Faith is a relational response of trust in what God has promised us. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Jesus is calling us to trust God completely, and he knows it is hard for us. Faith says to God, I trust what you say so much that I will live my life your way. Our relationship with him is restored, and he will move mountains for us. And unlike people at the temple in Jerusalem, those with faith in God are able to say, we are safe, and with changed hearts. Our faith in God should shape our prayers and our relationship with God, and therefore our relationship with others. This is why Jesus goes on to say in verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. An intimate relationship with God allows us to pray extraordinarily powerful prayers, but an unforgiving heart can impede our prayers. As those with faith in God, we should seek reconciliation with others and extend to them the mercy we've received. Sometimes a hard and forgiving heart is bigger than any mountain, but God will surely move it if we ask him to in faith. If I'm withholding forgiveness to a brother, or holding a grudge against my wife, how can I trust that my prayers have good intentions like God does? God, please change our hearts and help us to pray in line with your will. If we have faith in God that he will provide a way for us to be in right relationship with him, we should trust that Jesus' call to forgive others is an outworking of this right relationship with God. He will surely change our hearts. We will see in the weeks to come just how Jesus intends to bring about this right relationship between God and his people once and for all. So going back to the question we began with, what's wrong with looking respectable but wanting nothing to do with God? Just like the fig tree, a person who looks respectable but wants nothing to do with God is in danger of Jesus' judgment. It is possible for a person to say they're a Christian, turn up on Sunday, sing all the songs, and think to themselves, I am safe, whilst deliberately choosing to live life their own way rather than God's way. Let's be clear. This isn't about believers who are prayerfully struggling with sin, but rather about those who look respectable on the outside, but refuse to believe and put their trust in God in their heart. It is a really good thing that Jesus judges empty religion, but he is tender and kind to those who come to him humbly, knowing their weakness and ready to receive his mercy. God knows our hearts, and no amount of frills and leaves can hide a heart that is far from him. But wonderfully, the solution is not for us to do more, or for us to be better, or find our own way to fix our problems. Jesus' solution is simple. He calls us not to look sideways at each other, but into our own hearts. Have faith in God. In a few chapters, we will see Jesus die on the cross, the perfect sacrifice for our rejection of God, and providing each one of us with access to a right relationship with him. Because of Jesus, we can pray extraordinary prayers and know that God will move mountains for us. What Jesus has said, God will surely do. Let's pray. Father God, Please help us to inspect our hearts. Help us to have faith in you. We're sorry that we don't often dare to pray these big prayers, especially expecting you to answer them. Thank you for the invitation you give to us to come into a restored relationship with you. Please help us to trust you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.